Translation, in his childhood pastimes, the Lord turned upside down while lying on his bed. And thus he showed his parents the marks on his lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, short. The word uttana is also used to mean lying down on the bed face upwards, or lying down flat on the bed. In some readings, the word is uttana, which means standing up. In his childhood pastimes, the Lord tried to catch the wall and stand up. But as an ordinary child falls down, so the Lord also fell down and again took to lying on his bed. The verse once again, in his first childhood pastimes, the Lord turned upside down while lying on his bed, and thus he showed his parents the marks on his lotus feet. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Syadvaita Gadadara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpa Tribhyascha, Krupa Sindhu Bhaivacha, Vatidanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Anantagoti Vaishnavindaki. So asking for all the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here to speak some words, ending the year, the 50th anniversary, ending the 50th anniversary today. So verses really are continuing from the last one, which was similar, which was... Prabhupada is speaking, and the purport and the verse itself, where although such pastimes appear exactly like those of an ordinary child, they should be understood as various pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again here, the Lord is either standing up or falling back on the bed or turning upside down, and his feet are being shown to his parents. So again, an ordinary activity, very ordinary activity. So the purport really is carrying on with that principle. It is our great fortune that we have the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Navadvip Mahatmya and in the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He speaks about the fact that it took him 11 years from the time that he arrived in Navadvip to find an authentic copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he could actually consider was an actual account of the life of Mahaprabhu. So it took him 11 years, and he was, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But we, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we have it on the shelf every day. We don't have to wait 11 years. It is there for us every day to pick up, to look at, to read. And on the weekends, we can try and attend the classes here, which speak on it as well. Last week, Govinda Prabhu was speaking on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, very a scholar, telling us on these pastimes as well. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears in this world, people take him to be an ordinary person. And when an ordinary person claims to be the personality of God, that people take that as fact. Isn't it strange? Strange. That in India, I think there's well over 60 people who claim to be Kalki. Because Kalki is the next avatar, isn't it? There's only one left now, so you can't be anyone else. So, you know, you could have been Krishna, you could have been so many things, but now you can only be Kalki because he's coming. So unknown to everyone, a television station, they got hold of all of them. And they asked him to come for an interview and speak about the fact that they were the personality of Godhead, Kalki. So unknown to each one of them, all the 300 were invited. So in the studio, there were 300 Kalkis. And each one of them was claiming to be Kalki. So there was a real ferocious fight. Everyone was fighting each other. Forget about claiming to be Kalki, because each one wanted to be Kalki. So that was interesting on Indian television. They showed how people are mesmerized that ordinary persons can claim to be God. So throughout the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, often he's criticized in many places, but we see that often he's not accepted as the personality of Godhead. And even today, if you go to India, he's accepted as a saint. But very few places will accept him as the personality of Godhead. I believe the Indian government have printed a postage stamp for next year to commemorate his taking of sannyas. So that's a big thing. So it's Sri Chaitanya, and there's a stamp of it. So that's quite something new, because it's 500th anniversary of his taking sannyas, I think. It's next year. So that's being commemorated, but people may take him to be a saint. People may take him to be a saint. And one devotee came to Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, people are always criticizing me." And Prabhupada said to him, "They did not spare Lord Chaitanya. Do you think they will spare you?" So it was interesting, I thought, that, you know, in Chaitanya's lifetime, Prabhupada is saying that even Chaitanya wasn't spared from the criticism that he received. And even Krishna. What famous story is there where he was criticized? Anyone remember? Shishupal, another one where he was defamed. And they said he was stealing something. The shaman Takajo, remember they defamed it, that he had, Satrajit had spread the rumors that Krishna had stolen the shaman Taka jewel. So he didn't do it. But still he was criticized throughout Dwarka that he had stolen the shaman Taka jewel. So what to speak of Lord Chaitanya? Lord Krishna wasn't spared. What to speak of us? Of course, there's a falshruti at the end of the shaman Taka jewel. Do you remember that one? What does that say? It says that if you've ever been defamed, by reading this story, you will once again be acquitted from this. So there's a false shruti that if you've unknowingly been defamed, then by reading that pastime. So in today's verse, the Lord is performing a very ordinary activity of turning over. And we may see that as an ordinary activity. But the verses prior and ahead were reminding us that these are the activities of the personality of Godhead. And even we'll find that those that were close to Lord Chaitanya, they would often forget his supremacy. His close servants would forget that he was the personality of Godhead. And you know, in this verse it mentions that he turned over and to show his parents the markings on his feet, but his parents didn't see the markings. They didn't see it. It's a yoga maya. They didn't see the markings. What are the markings? The five markings on the feet of Lord Chaitanya, anyone remember? Well, it's in the next verse. That's the only reason I know, not that I'd known. It's in the next verse. So I just looked at the next verse. The flag, the thunderbolt, the conch shell, the disc, and the fish. They're on the markings. They're on the footprints of Lord Chaitanya. So we'll hear about that tomorrow. That's in the verse there. So, you know, being a servant of the personality of Godhead is not easy. What to speak of being a servant of we have many visitors that will come here, many sannyasis, and, you know, we'll give them a secretary or someone to help them travel the country. And that's always never an easy thing as well, in many ways. And often, when I get the feedback, the sannyasi will say, actually, it would have been easier without the servant. I ended up serving them instead. There was once a devotee who wanted to help in this service, so a sannyasi had arrived, and he wanted to go to Leicester. And it was one of our local sannyasis from here, so I said, drive him to Leicester. So whilst they were driving to Leicester, this devotee was falling asleep. So the sannyasi sort of thought, my God, this boy is really tired. So he pulled over on the motorway and he said, pull over. And instead he started driving, and the other the servant ended up, the sannyasi became the chauffeur. And the brahmachari or the guest who was there, he ended up, you know, being the sannyasi, being driven around all the way to Leicester and back. So I thought that was interesting as well, that sometimes when you get a servant, it's more of an impediment. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never wanted servants. Just that was the point I was making on that one. He never wanted servants. You find that in the two of his servants, Kala Krishnadas, who went to South India with him, I think. South India? Must be South India. He went to South India with him. And when he was in South India, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to start looking after him and rescue him. Because he was a lord by I think they were called the Bhattaharis. The Bhattaharis, and Prabhupada translates that as the gypsy ladies, or tribal ladies and gypsy folk who travel everywhere. And he became a lord, some mystic spell was put on him, whatever. And he went into the camp of the gypsies. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to personally go and rescue him. So he look after him. So he was meant to be looked after, Lord Chaitanya, by the servant. So he ended up instead rescuing the secretary. And he didn't recognize his supremacy, that I have with me the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's something that we can always be wary of. Not to be allured by the camps of the gypsies and the sandy lane. Be careful as you drive in, perhaps, you know. You never know. You think, should I be turning right here or going straight on? Going straight on to the manor. That's the best place. Do not be allured by these things. And then, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes back to Jagannath Puri. Is that right, Jagannath Puri? After South India, he comes back to Jagannath Puri. And then he has to have two new servants there. And the servants were Sarup Damodar, who was formerly known as Purushottamacharya, and Govinda. And Govinda, of course, was the disciple of Ishwara Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again was reluctant. He said, how can a disciple of Ishwara Puri be my servant? And then he decided to go to Vrindavan. And then he has another servant. Anyone remember that name? And in Vrindavan again, he didn't recognize his supremacy. Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And when they got to Vrindavan, Balabhadra Bhattacharya had gone off to the Jamuna. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, why have you gone to the Jamuna? He said, because everyone has gathered there because they are seeing Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So I went to see Krishna. So here he is serving Krishna. But instead he's going to the Jamuna. He arrives at the Jamuna and he says that I've gone to see Krishna there. So I think so of course Lord Chaitanya chastised him severely. He said, and of course what was it? It was a boatman with a lamp. And, you know, people thought that lamp was Kaliya and it was wavering, so they thought that was Krishna dancing. So it just shows that even when we are so close to the personality of Godhead, we can take him to be an ordinary person. So I'm just trying to relate that to the purport, that's all, in these stories, that it's so easy to see the personality of Godhead as an ordinary human being. So even the close servants didn't recognize him. Looking at Prabhupada would always change his secretaries for that purpose. I remember we would always converse, myself and Vishwamba Prabhu, we would converse with Tamal Krishna Goswami when he would come and visit here. And he was a secretary and servant for a long time. And I don't know if you remember, he mentioned to us that Prabhupada would always change his secretaries so that they didn't become offensive or complacent. And if we look at the series of secretaries that Prabhupada had, you know, the standard ones that we always hear about because they kept great details, Hari Sori Prabhu, Shruti Kirti, they had diaries. So you have a whole diary nowadays. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhakti Chiru Swami, they were all, and going back, Brahmananda Swami, he was one of the first to be the secretary. Satsarup Maharaj, Paramahamsa Swami, Hansadutta Swami, Rai Ram Das, Purushottam, the famous moon landing, if you remember, Shamasunda Das, Pushta Krishna Das, or Swami, Harikesh Swami, they were all servants and secretaries of Prabhupada, Akshay Nanda Swami, Rameshwara Swami, and Satsarup Maharaj. These were all, so Prabhupada kept changing them, and changing them, and changing them, so that they wouldn't see a great personality as very ordinary as well. It's very easy to do that. We become very complacent in this regard. So similarly here, Lord Chaitanya here, he wanted to Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Shishi Gaura Nithai Ki Jai. And being close to devotees is something that we all want to do, but equally it has its penalties. So, and Sridhar Swami, in speaking of this point, Sridhar Swami as in Sridhar Swami of ISKCON, that Sridhar Swami, he would speak about the fact that he tells a very funny story in this regard. He speaks about the fact that he remembers in the old days, in the 60s in America, that whenever somebody was selling drugs, they would give you the first puff of the drug free. And then he said that, well, have another one. So you'd get a second puff free. And then they would give you the third puff as well of the drug free. And by then you're addicted. And then when you said, now I want the fourth puff, they would say, now you have to pay for it. So in his story, he would say that the first three smokes are free. And when you get addicted, you have to pay. So similarly, he had an analogy. He would say that in ISKCON, the first three kirtans are free. You know, you come, you chant, you dance, you be happy, they're all free. So he gave that story. He said, the first three kirtans are free. But then he said that after that, you begin to realize that responsibilities are coming your way. And the major responsibilities that are for all of us is to be with devotees, to be surrounded by devotees, and to keep reciprocating with devotees. Three important things. Because we're all here as a community, whether we live in the ashrams or we live out, we're always with devotees. Our families are devotees. So an interesting point that he makes within that is, how do we maintain the intimacy, which is called vishrambena, and how do we maintain the respect, gaurabena? And this is the principle of the verse here as well, that we see the personality of Godhead as an ordinary person. And Prabhupada had all of these servants, and how to maintain the intimacy with Prabhupada and how to maintain the respect. And similarly for all of us, we all live here, we speak to each other, and these are the Rupa Goswami's six loving exchanges that we have. But at the same time, how to maintain the respect. So I think we can be proud that during the book distribution marathon this year, we distributed so many books, as we just said, 142,000 books, 11,000 more than last year. So so all credit to Nikhil Prabhu and the team. Haribo! Thank him. Fantastic. And, you know, we may not have got to our target, but we have many more years to go to get to many targets, as we always say. But, you know, we've given out the highest philosophy to people in the books. We want to share it with the whole world. But that's not sufficient to share the highest philosophy with the world. When those people come here, or they meet us again, our actions have to demonstrate the highest philosophy. Somebody has received a book and they think, wow, this is amazing. This is what I've been looking for. But they come here and no one will say hello, perhaps. Or someone may even be rude. They don't see anyone smiling. They don't get any prasadam. They don't get questions asked, would you like to attend a function? So the highest philosophy may be there, but our actions have to demonstrate that as well. And when they see the devotees as well, they have to see, yeah, what I'm reading is the same as what I'm seeing. So it's a challenge for us. Intimacy and respect. Those two principles again, Gaurabvena and Vishrabvena. That people will judge us by the actions that we have. So that's, again, an interesting principle as well. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami reminds us that hearing of the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Krishna Katha in general is like eating grains. What do grains do? They nourish us spiritually, and they, so he says, they sustain us and they give us spiritual strength. So Krishna Katha is like that. So coming every morning is about that. They nourish us spiritually. And they give us that strength. They give us that strength. So I think often in the Niti Shastras and other places, they give the analogy of the crane. And you often see a crane in our lake. And the crane, it stands in shallow water because it's very tall. So it's very, very tall. And it waits and it's looking and it waits for the small and medium-sized fishes to go past. And it doesn't do anything. And it only, when it sees the large fish, only at that time it pounces. So lessons from the crane. Lessons from the crane. So the intelligent person, they wait for the opportunity and they invest in the big things, the big fish. And that's Krishna Katha. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying that we should be like that crane and we should invest. Let the small things go by. Christmas shopping, New Year's things, let all those things go by. And we should invest in the big thing, which is Krishna Katha, because it will sustain us. It will nourish us. And I think that Krishna Katha, it teaches us two things. because every day there's a purport, and every day so many good speakers will give us a purport of how that applies to our life. Every day we'll hear something that will equate something which we can apply. So I think Krishna Katha teaches us two things. How to repair the repairable things in life, and how to tolerate the unrepairable things in life. It's an interesting principle. There are many repairable things, and I think by hearing the class, we think, okay, I can do that. And there are certain things you can't do anything about. Certain people you can't do anything about. And you learn to tolerate those things. So that's an interesting principle as well. By hearing of Krishna Katha, four things are achieved. Many, I'm sure, but these are just four here that I can speak on. First is information. The information we gain, we're hearing today about Lord Chaitanya's markings on his feet. And the more information you have, the more attached you become to something, isn't it? The more you know of someone, the more attachment you get of that person. So that's the first thing Krishna Katha does. It reminds us that this world is a miserable place, but it also reminds us that doesn't mean we should be miserable. It may be a miserable place, but we can smile. We don't need to be miserable because we have the highest philosophy here. We're in this world, but not of it. The second thing Krishna Katha does, it's satisfying. You know, there's hundreds of things in this life that we have, we get, we want, and we find that at the last second, it's never satisfying. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's an item, it's never satisfying. But Krishna in the Gita is reminding us, tusyanti cha ramanti cha, that this will greatly satisfy the heart. The third thing it does is it purifies. Krishna Katha purifies. And it said not only purify those that are hearing, but those that are speaking the Krishna Katha. They're both purified. They both become enlightened by speaking as well. And you definitely do. I was looking through frantically this morning through folio and bits and pieces and trying to see what else is there on this very short purport. So you also become a bit enlightened in this thing. And of course, anartha nivritti. This is what Krishna Katha is all about. Artha means that which is value, and anartha, no value. So we want to get rid of all the things that are of no value to us within our heart. And finally, the last thing Krishna Katha does, not last, I'm sure there are many, we can all come out with many, is conviction. Conviction. You know, when something enters into our heart, it becomes a conviction, it becomes a realization. So that's very important for us. Conviction of what we're doing, why we're here. Because everything outside, the propaganda is telling us that what we're doing is wrong. We should be doing something else. So we need conviction to stay in Krishna consciousness. So that's an important thing. And you know, conviction is what today is all about. Today is all about conviction. Why? Anyone? What do people do today? New Year's resolution. It's all about conviction. So people today think we must take New Year's resolution. And looking through the folio this morning, what does Prabhupada say about New Year's resolution? He says as follows. In Los Angeles, in 74 in January, 1st or 2nd, 3rd I think, 3rd of January, he's speaking. He says, well, every day is a new year. Nava yovanam. Our Krishna consciousness is so nice, the more you advance, you see new year. That's all. Nothing is old. So it's interesting, Prabhupada is speaking that the more you advance, you see new year. And every day is a new year. Every day is a new year for Vaishnavas. And if you're advancing, then every day becomes a new year. recently, because this was the Christmas period, and people were speaking about Christmas in so many ways. And I was looking at some facts. And just alone in America, because Christmas means gift buying, and how much do you think they spend on gifts for Christmas in America? What would you think? Anyone else? Govinda knows because he's figured it out. He's been looking at the figures. 30 billion? Okay, are you ready, everyone? 70 billion. In America, buying of gifts costs every year, and it's probably gone up. This figure is from about 4 years ago. $465 billion is what they spend on gifts. Half a trillion, yeah. Just on gifts. So, you know, and along with gifts, what's the other individuals that you meet on the streets when you're distributing books? People are buying gifts, but there are others collecting for charities. So many charities, and, you know, especially the big charities are feeding. And they worked out that those that go without food and water every day, how many people would go throughout in the world? Population is just over 5 billion. So how many go without food and water every day is 700 million people every night don't have food or water. Chunk, isn't it? It's a fifth of the world. So they looked at this $465 billion and they said that would feed 1 billion people with food and water for 1 year. For 1 year. That's more than the people that are hungry or in need of water. So it's interesting, as Mahatma Gandhi would say, there's enough for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. Every temple has a pundit. I mean, we have many pundits here, but there's another pundit as well. He's also known as the security guard at the Manor Kaveri. You always see him reading the Bhagavatam, so I was chatting to him during the Christmas time. And he said, people speak about the birth of Christ. And he said, he grew up in a Christian tradition. He said he remembers very well that Christ was born during the time when lambs were in season. And the lambing season in Bethlehem is March and April, he said. So that's in the Bible as well. And he said, actually, he was speaking to, different his sons and daughters and grandchildren, and he was reminding them that when Christ was born, that was the time the Romans were collecting the taxes. Remember that in the Bible? The tax was being collected at the same time that Christ was born, because they'd gone to give the tax. So when are the taxes collected? The Romans just began that. At that time, 2,500 years back, or 2,000 years back, the taxes are collected still to this day at the same time, everyone. Your tax return are in April. They are in April. It's never changed since the Roman times. That's why is it not on January the 1st, isn't it? Makes sense, wouldn't it? Why are the taxes not in January the 1st? Because it's the Roman tradition and it happens in April. So that's our pundit, Kaveri. He was telling me all about that. I thought that was interesting as well. The taxes part, I thought that was very interesting, that we're paying our taxes. And Christ had gone or his parents had gone to pay the tax at that time as well. The New Year's resolutions are many, as people have them. And today many people will make them, but I thought today we're reading the CC, as it says, the CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So how about some resolutions from the two words CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, we can, the CC. So I thought do's, don'ts, and recommendations. Three things we could have. The do's from CNC is obvious, chanting and cooperation. Is that a good resolution? Chanting and cooperation. Sticking to the CC. How about the don'ts? Because resolutions are also both, isn't it? People have one and the other as well. So I thought the don'ts could be no complacency and not taking the credit. Not taking the credit. No complacency and not taking the credit. So that's the don'ts. And recommendations, you can break up New Year's resolutions like that. That's how they break them up, apparently. Do's, don'ts, and recommendations. So the recommendations is the CC again, conscious of Krishna. But as the Bhagavatam reminds us, Maya Javaninak Chanyam Agna Dokshajam Avyayam. When Vyas, he saw Krishna, one step behind, he saw the shadow of Krishna, Maya. Conscious of Krishna, but cautious of Maya. So some thoughts there for us on our New Year's resolutions that we can always have on our side. Bhakti Rasa Mita Maharaj, when he was speaking here once, he said two things we should forget. And it might have been a New Year's resolution class, I can't remember. But he said two things we should forget: anything bad others have done to us, and to the extent we're willing to forgive, Krishna will forgive us. He reminded us. Two things to forget, seeing the new year. And he said the other thing we should forget, anyone remember that one? I thought it was a classic because I'd never thought of it. Yeah, he said anything good we have done for others, we should forget that as well. Because that can make us proud. Make us proud as well. And two things to remember. He said death. He said it's a morbid topic, but in 2016, if you look at the BBC website, more famous people have died than any other year. And it's still one day to go, so you may have a few more going. So more famous people have died in 2016 than any other year. So they people were saying, what's happening with the world? It's very simple, Prabhupada said. Death rate is 100%. People do die. And Sutapa reminds us in his Gita course that 76% of people, they don't leave a will behind. Because people don't think they will die. And the other thing to remember is that Krishna's mercy is available to each one of us through his holy name. We often wonder, how will we get Krishna's mercy? Very simple, through his holy name. An interesting thought about New Year's resolution is that 70% of people who make a New Year's resolution, they fail by April. They've given up by April. This is not possible. But there was a famous study done, and that study is a very long-standing study. It's from the 1920s. They've been monitoring it all the way till today. And the study showed that although most people, or 70%, quit in the first 3 months, the most successful people at keeping a New Year's resolution are those that follow a religion. They're the most successful and they don't drop them. I thought that was really interesting. Their conviction of whatever resolutions they make, they always get to it. And generally the convictions are not religious, they've said. There's so many other things, but they get to them. So that was interesting as well. I thought that, wow, okay, religious people don't quit so easily on their New Year's resolution as well. Our New Year's resolution is that we have a program all the way in Northolt, I believe today, sold out already. We have a Harinam in London to see the New Year in as well. And what does everyone say during the New Year? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And that's interesting as well. Everyone has got happiness as the number one item for 2017. Isn't it? Everyone is looking. It's happy new. It's already new. It's year. But what is it? It's hopefully it's happy. And why does material happiness fall short, we may wonder? And there's an interesting item, because we're not saying there is no happiness. We often used to say there's no happiness. There is happiness. But what we can say is three things about that happiness, about material happiness. And you can use the acronym FIT, FIT. FIT. If you may have heard of that one, FIT. Why? Because the F is people want happiness, but it's futile. You know, you want so many things in life, but you don't get it. It's futile. Janmaishvara Shruta Sribi Edamana Madat Puman. Queen Kunti speaks about these four things that people are hankering for. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Sribi Edamana Madat Puman Naivar Bidhatum Vai. We are intoxicated by these things. But it's futile. It's futile. We may get what we want. So the I in the FIT is that we may get what we want, but it's insubstantial. It's not what we expected it to be. Anybody done internet shopping? You know, you've ordered something, right? And you thought it was amazing. You looked at all the reviews. It was fantastic. And when it arrived and you opened the package, it's not what you thought it was. Insubstantial. Material happiness is like that. It's internet shopping. And finally, you get it. It's good. The T in FIT is temporary. Whether it's an item, a phone, it doesn't last. Or it's a relationship, it doesn't last. Ultimately, that takes everything away. It's temporary. So people are hoping for a happy 2017. But really, if we put the scenario FIT into it, we'll see that it's futile. It's insubstantial. It's temporary. Material happiness is described. And the buzz about it all tonight is really, it's all about old wine in new bottles. As I think Jesus described equally, the New Testament, he described as old wine in new bottles. So similarly, this material happiness is similar. It's the same old things that people want, but repackaged. And people think it's something new. It's new, but it's actually just been repackaged. Puna puna charvita charvananam. Chewing the chewed, isn't it? And why do people keep with the same old things? Because they don't know there is anything better. So hopefully these 141,000 books will awaken them to something new. And we have a follow-up program to keep, make sure that when they do inquire, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that their New Year's resolutions will change. Majority of New Year's resolutions are about, what do you think they're about? Anyone? Losing weight is number one. Losing weight. And Govinda definitely doesn't need to lose weight, but it's number one, isn't it? Number one. People want to lose weight. Especially when the government has given the warning just a few days ago that if you are from 40 to 60, you are most likely to be suffering very shortly from diabetes or heart disease because you are going to be overweight. 40 to 60. So they're saying, go for a walk, Japa walk. Japa walk will sort of say. So losing weight is a definite one. And the other one is all about smoking. People want to quit smoking as well, isn't it? Gauranga Prabhu, once he was speaking, and he spoke on this principle of no smoking. He was filming the Atma serial. And whilst he was being filmed, the cameraman said, you just spoke about smoking and giving up smoking, but I'm telling you there are three benefits to smoking. So Gauranga said, I've never heard about three benefits to smoking. What are these three benefits? He said, the first benefit is that you will never be burgled in your house. So Gauranga said, okay, smoking and you will never be burgled in your house. How does that work? He said, because if you smoke a lot, you will always be coughing all night and no burglars will come in because someone, they'll think someone's always at home. So he said, what about the second one? He said, you'll never be bitten by a dog. So how does that work? He said, because when you smoke, your health has gone to such an extent that you'll need a walking stick. And dogs keep away from sticks. And then he said, the third benefit of smoking is that you will never grow old. Because you don't make it to get old, he said. Three benefits. Of, anyway, throw that one in to entertain everyone this morning. On that story of the Bhagavatam there, from which Gauranga Prabhu uses and just ending on people that make New Year's resolutions. And as I was looking at the internet this morning, people who are famous at making New Year's resolution and have succeeded. Anyone think of a name? And they've succeeded every year for 6 years. And they've got there. Anyone? He is the founder of Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg. And he has succeeded every year. And I just thought I'd look at what he was successful at and give our spin on it, what the Krishna conscious angle would be. So going back to all the years, his first one was writing one thank you note every day to someone that you thought did something nice to you. And he was successful. Every day he would write one thank you note. So I thought, as devotees, we can learn from gratitude. We may not write something, but we can thank someone that's helping us in our Krishna consciousness or helped us some way in something, somehow during the day. Can be anything. Gratitude, a big thing that we can learn from there. Another one he thought about that he had was that meet someone new every day. So I thought, we definitely should meet someone new every day and give Krishna consciousness. In that way, we will definitely get in due course to 200,000 books. Definitely. Meet someone new every day. Why not? Every day go out and preach, whether it's door to door, whether it's on the street, whether it's here at the manor, you'll meet someone new every day. Speak to them about Krishna consciousness. Third year, he spoke about that he realized that he'd gone up to, you know, billions and he was ahead of so many things. But he realized, because he was just a coder, his degree was in coding from, I don't know where he studied, wherever he studied. He was, he had a degree in coding and he could code programs and so on and so forth. So he realized that he didn't do it for years and years and years because he was so high up in the industry now that all others worked for him. So he said he called it back to basics, a return to our roots coding. So I thought for us, we could go back to our roots, hearing Bhagavatam every day, chanting Japa, all of us together every day, Harinam, book distribution, prasadam. Well, they're back to basics. Back to basics. So I thought that was interesting as well. We could use that as well. Here's a good one that he had. Read a new book every 2 weeks. And he did that. So, of course, we could read one of Prabhupada's books if we haven't read them every 2 weeks. Try and complete a book. Might not be every 2 weeks. Could be every 4 weeks or whatever. But for us, it goes even further. Not just read a book every 2 weeks, but give out a book as well. So that was interesting as well. And the last one that he had, that he was successful in, was that he decided to learn a new language. He decided to study Mandarin. Mandarin is the most difficult language in the world to learn, especially if you're not Oriental, they say. The most difficult thing that you can learn. So he picked it up in 1 year. Very, very quickly. To the extent that he could speak to his wife's relatives in Mandarin. He was on a 30-minute question and answer session in Beijing, and he was speaking Mandarin to them. So the idea of that, we don't want to learn Mandarin, of course. You may do if you want to distribute books in Chinatown or somewhere else. But the idea there for him was that, what's the most difficult thing that faces me? And he thought, Mandarin. I can't grasp it. So for each one of us, there may be something difficult in Krishna consciousness that we want to grapple with, to grasp with. So that's a good thing to think about and grab that as well. And come to terms with that aspect of it, and become proficient within it. Prabhupada, going back to what Prabhupada had said about New Year's resolutions, he had spoken the following. He explained the following. He said, resolution, revolution, disillusion, and no solution. That was another point that he had made as well. He said, this is the nature of New Year's resolutions. That it's resolution, revolution, disillusion, and no solution. That all the New Year's resolutions you make, they're actually not solutions to janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, doshanu, darshanam. They're not solutions to life. So Prabhupada is saying these are the real solutions to life. And as Nectar of Devotion reminds us, the Panchanga Bhakti, that's a great New Year's resolution. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavad Shravan, Mathura Vas, Murti Shradaya, Sevaya. These are amazing things to be absorbed in for 2017. And it all begins with Sadhu Sangha, topmost. And here we have it, all of us together, hearing the Bhagavatam, together in the Kirtan, together chanting our japa, Sadhu Sangha. Great Sadhu Sangha. So that's a great thing we can do. The Ramayana describes that a particle can be carried by the air all the way to the top of the crown of a king. And when it reaches the crown of the king, it's higher than the king. Who can go higher than the king? But imagine that particle of dust, by associating with the crown of the king, it goes even higher than the king. So not even the queen can be higher than the crown of the king. But that same particle of dust, when it's carried by the air into the water, it becomes part of the dust on the ground by association. So the Ramayana says association will govern our destiny. And as the famous verse reminds us, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. What's the rest of it? Sarva Sastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. So, you know, that very interesting verse within that is the principle that Lava Matra, And normally we use the term lava matra and we call it a 16th of a second. So in Vedic astronomy, they measure time in different ways. And one of the ways they measure time is the blinking of an eyelid. And the blinking of an eyelid is called nimisha. Nimisha, one blink. I mean, we're blinking all the time. You have to blink. You blink, I don't know how many times in a second, otherwise you get dry eyes. You have to blink. So that one blink of an eyelid in calculations, in astronomy, is called nimisha. So this verse gives another reading, calculation, lava matra, sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. What is lava matra? It's half a nimisha, half a blinking of an eyelid. So it says that that is sufficient to get perfection. If you're with sadhus, and taking us back once again to where we started off with, Gauravena and Vishrabena. The intimacy may be there equally, but the respect needs to be there. So that 16th of a second is dependent on these two principles of Vishrambena and Gauravena. And that's very much required. And ending on a story here, brother of Ambarish Maharaj, his name was, anyone remember his name? Anyone remember him? In the Puranas it gives a story. You don't hear it in the Bhagavatam, but his name was Paparaj. Paparaj, Ambarish Maharaj's brother. And he was, as Ambarish Maharaj, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindi, he was like the emblem of bhakti. His brother Paparaj was the emblem of sinful life. So Ambarish Maharaj, he once called Narada Muni and he said, can you help my brother? And Narada Muni said that I can definitely help. So Narada Muni went to see him once, but then Ambarish Maharaj, he said, I must warn you because my brother is so sinful that even you will be influenced by his association. So please don't go. Ambarish Maharaj is telling Narada, don't go because he's so powerful. You'll be influenced by him. So anyway, Ambarish Maharaj finally let him go, and Narada Muni, he came to Paparaj, and Paparaj wanted to kill him. He said, who are you? But of course, you can't kill him. Just like Kamsa, he tried to kill Narada Muni, and he realized the sword was just going through him. He said, I have a spiritual body. He said, you're eternal. He said, yes. So, but of course, he didn't want to follow that path of eternality. So, Kamsa. So similarly, Narada Muni again was with Paparaj, and he tried to kill him, but he couldn't kill him. So, but Narada Muni said to him, whenever you are confronted at the time of death and you're asked, just ask one question. What is the position of a person who has a moment's association with a pure devotee? Just ask that. So, of course, Paparaji died. And when he died, Yamaraj appeared before him and said, our list is too long to deal with you even. But he said, I remember Narada Muni. And he said, what is the position of a person who's had a moment's association with a devotee? So he was stumped. Yamaraj said, I've never been asked that question. So he said, well, we better go and see Lord Brahma because I don't have the answer. So he went to see Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, Yamaraj and Paparaj all together. And that same question is asked. And Lord Brahma said, I don't know. I have known the answer, never been asked this. So they went to see, of course, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, I equally don't know the answer, but the only person who can give us an answer is in Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu. So all of them traveled to Vaikuntha. And Lord Vishnu was asked the same question. What is the position of a person who's had a moment's association with a pure devotee? And he said, the benediction is that person comes to my abode. And Paparaj, you have come to Vaikuntha because you can't go to Vaikuntha any other way. You've arrived. All of these people, they escorted you to Vaikuntha. He said, that is the benediction of anyone who has a moment's association of pure devotees, that Yamaraj, Brahma and Shiva, they will escort this person to Vaikuntha. So he said, Paparaj, you stay here now, but the three of you, you have to go back. So Yamaraj, Brahma and Shiva all had to go back. But Paparaj, he stayed in Vaikuntha. So moments association. So it's we started off with the principle of the Supreme Lord appears, but we may not recognize him. So similarly, we went on to the principle of Vaishnavas are with us, but we may not recognize them. We may not have the intimacy or the respect for them as well. I take this opportunity to thank everyone for their wonderful service here at Bhaktivedanta Mahana, all of you. The tremendous marathon we've had and the 50th anniversary, which we've celebrated the best in the world. Many temples have celebrated, but we can say we have done more than any other country in the world. If you look at the list of things that we did for the 50th, we started off with a record number of books, and we started off at 131, and we've ended up with 142, 141 here. So that's tremendous, I think. And so many functions that we've had throughout the year. No other temple in the world had something from the Prime Minister praising Srila Prabhupada and his achievements. So if you look on the net, you'll see the former Prime Minister, David Cameron, speaking about Prabhupada and the work of ISKCON. No other Prime Minister has done that in the world. So we definitely led the way in so many ways. And we end tonight with the Harinam, with the function, Sadhu Sangha for everyone. So this is tremendous. So once again, thank every one of you, and looking forward to 2017, which will see us the beginning of the Haveli. So there may be a lot of noise from April. We want to begin in April, and we want to finish that project and open it for Janmashtami of 2018, just 15 months. Just in 15 months, we could open that building. So that will be great facilities for all of us, but we may have lots of inconveniences with noise and other things between April and Janmashtami. So everyone will need to be more tolerant, as we'd say. Vishnu Mahaprabhu, anything from you? Govinda Prabhu, anything? Any comments? Yes, please. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Yes. Govinda Prabhu just saying that, and Muslims have, those from the Islamic faith have spoken to you on that. They speak on the fact that they consider, they call him Kalki as well, do they? Okay. So there you are. That's an interesting principle. They are, of course, the Abrahamic faith, they say he's the last, he's the last of the individuals or the latest to reveal the principles of their faith. So they consider him the latest as well, or the last, I suppose, in that way as well. So maybe that's another principle of Kalki. Anything else from anyone? So we have prasadam for everyone. And once again, to show appreciation to Nikhil Prabhu and all the team that worked very hard for the book distribution marathon. And all the devotees from the congregation that have gone out in so many ways. But more than that, all of us for tolerating each other and being here in the Sangha of Vaishnavas, because that is the only way. Just like 2017 is upon us, 2018, 18, 19, 20, and all these years will go by. And this will be the one principle that will help us to take us from this world to the spiritual world before we know it. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanandi.